can dig a broke rubs.
Cool. Howdy, folks. How'd you like the keynote? Pretty good stuff? I missed most of it. I was doing other stuff. So, how many people here are web developers?
Oh, there are.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. You're in the right place probably for that. Who here has used AngularJS at all? Pretty good. Okay, cool. You're going to like this guy. You might not like me so much. Who here has used it like a lot, knows quite a bit? Cool. Okay. And then who here is ASP.NET devs? Done a lot of, wait. Don't raise your hand yet. ASP.NET devs, done a lot of ASP.NET, never done Angular. Okay, cool. So hopefully something for everybody. David's done quite a bit on, there it is. David's has done Babylon.js.
Yeah, I'm the father of Babylon.js, which is a full WebGL client framework. Mm-hmm. There is a session about that this Friday. It's an awesome session, like this one, and I invite you to see it. Yep. And you're one of the writers of a wonderful book.
Yeah, so I've worked on this professionalized ASP.NET MVC book. I've been doing MVC for a long time, MVC and Web API, and before that, ASP.NET, since it was ASP.NET. So I'm kind of, like, I love client-side stuff, but I'm mostly a server guy, right? And then you are like wizard of backend or of the front end stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm more like a front client JavaScript guy. I love things that run on my PC, and you love things that run elsewhere.
Somewhere else.
Yeah.
Some magical cloud, right?
So today we will talk about some kind of integration between AngularJS, how to use AngularJS, and then how to use it with a ASP.NET. And all the kind of things that you do on the server.
Right. So hopefully what we want you to get out of this, number one, like me, I've learned a lot just working with David on AngularJS in general, and so hopefully you'll learn a lot of core concepts. Honestly, there's a lot to it. Like, I've been digging into this for a little while, watching conference videos and stuff. There's whole conferences on it, there's books, there's a lot to it. So we've got an hour. And then what I'm hopefully going to show you is how we can integrate that with ASP.NET. I want to show you a few things about, you know, how we can get data, how we can get HTML, how we can integrate smoothly, and then also a few gotchas, you know, things that you might not, that you'll run into trouble with if you just kind of start plunking away.
Right. So the first point would be to discover AngularJS. I'm pretty sorry for those who know, but we need to add an introduction right there. AngularJS is a MVC framework. There are a lot of them, Knockout, Ember, and so on. Sincerely, AngularJS is one of the most successful MVC framework client today. Back in 2009, Google started to work on it, and right now there are a lot of projects that use AngularJS. So here, I would like to show you how, starting from scratch, we can create a small AngularJS application. For those who know me, I'm a huge fan of Magic the Gathering cards. And I spend a lot of my time and money on with them. my wife loved that. And I would like to create an application right there that can allow me to handle my cards and find them and perhaps do some exchange or whatever. Right?
Right.
So let's go to my computer. Twice, I think. Oh, it's OK.
Yep.
You see my screen? Yes. So this is a really, really simple web page, nothing really special. I just prepare a CSS for you guys. This is not the topic of this session, so we don't dig into the CSS. The first thing I have to do when I want to use AngularJS is to link AngularJS.
Right.
Easy. So let me add it in here. And oh, just remove this one. OK. Add link in here. I will also add a small, thank you, Visual Studio. I will also add a new JavaScript file here. And I will call this one, let's say, cards controller. This is our first contact with AngularJS. There are a lot of concepts. We will talk about some of them right after. So, right now, the first thing I have to do is to reference also my controller right there. And I want to say to AngularJS that I want it to take care of all of my applications. So I just have to add ng-app right there. When AngularJS is included into my application, it will look for this specific keyword, and it will understand that everything into this specific element, DOM element, will have to be handled by AngularJS. OK? The next thing I have to do is to specify a controller. The controller, when we are talking about MVC, is the glue between the data and the view. OK? It's where all your business logic should be. The controller handles the data, grab them, and give them to the display. OK? So here, I will just add a ng-controller. Let's call it cards list controller. We will see how to create this one right after. The thing I want to do is just to display a list of cards for now. So I just have to create here a div that will be my card list. OK. And into this div, I will use something really magic when it comes to speak about AngularJS. It's the repeat element. I will create a template, and I'm going to ask AngularJS to duplicate this template for every item in a specific collections. How to do that? Simple. I create my template right there. And I use the ng-repeat tool to ask for an enumeration. And I ask it to get card in card right there. Let's add a class just for the display right now. Oops. And into this element, I want to write the card ID. To do that, we have something called data binding. The data binding with AngularJS is done using this specific syntax right here.
And that's pretty standard, right? You see yeah. that kind of mustache style pretty much everywhere.
Exactly. A lot of framework use that. So that's all right now.
Okay.
We have our view. Our view is ready right there. The view know how to display our data. Okay. We have the ng-app to say, okay, here is the Angular scope. We define a controller, and we just have to code the controller right now. So for the controller,
can I ask you a couple of questions about
sure,
that?
Sure.
Super quick. Can you go back to that one? So you put ng-app on the HTML element.
Yes.
Does it need to go there? Can I move it around?
You can move it everywhere, in fact. Just okay. to you have to know that everything inside the DOM element that you specify with that will be handled by AngularJS.
OK. And then controller, can I have more than one controller?
Yeah, we will see that right after.
Okay.
We can have controller, shield controller, et cetera.
Great.
So the card controller right there is just a function for now. I want to create, let me just be sure to use the right name. The card controller is just a function. Let's create it like that. This function will receive a specific parameter called $scope. This is one of the main concepts of AngularJS. Every controller works on a scope. The scope is the space where everything handled by this controller lives. I mean, right there in our example, I ask for a collection called cards. Mm-hmm. This collection must be defined into the controller scope.
Okay.
Okay. So the scope is the local memory space attached to the controller.
Okay. Sort of similar for MVC heads out there, probably like view data.
Would yeah.
be it's the way that things are kind of
so
made
what,
available.
What we can do here is
but
just
there's a lot more on scope, right?
Obviously.
Scope,
yeah. We can spend one day talking about scope. We just have to do that. I just want to create a collection, an object called mm-hmm. cards.
Okay.
And into this card, I just have to add a specific object with ID 1.
Can you guys see that okay? Does he need to zoom in a bit? Or?
It's okay.
Okay.
And card 2.
Zoom in.
Zoom in. Let's go. Oh, let's do that like that. That's all. Here, my model is just this object. The controller grabs the model and will give it to the scope. The goal of the scope is to give it to the view. So let's try it. Hopefully it works. It will work. Wow. What a wonder. Yeah, eh? This is the basic of AngularJS. And with only that, we can create whatever we want.
OK.
So let's go back to the presentation right there. Because you have things to improve on your side right now. You should be on one.
Just left. Oh, one?
Yep.
There we go. OK.
OK. So yeah.
I'm six. Great. Okay, it's my turn.
I think so.
And so I stop heckling and I have to actually do something. All right, so we talked about scripts. There's three different ways I'm going to talk about getting the scripts available. So one is you can drop them in, download them and drop them in. Two is you can pull them off a CDN. So I'll show you a few options for that. And then another way you can do this is using NuGet. Now, you might think that's crazy and NuGet is only for, .NET libraries or whatever. But NuGet can be very useful for JavaScript libraries. And the reason is it handles dependencies. So say you're using an Angular library that depends on, a certain version of Angular itself, then that will handle those upgrades. So so that's part of the, the NuGet kind of packaging system. So we'll look at those different options. Also, it's important to think about, and we'll look at two different ways in my demos during this, but it's important to think about the different ways you can do this. So David just had an HTML file with JavaScript and CSS, right? And so that would be an entire single-page application because everything's happening down on the client. With MVC, you have the option. You can say, well, I would like to serve, just certain portions of my site are views that happen to have Angular in them. So you can almost think, they're very different, but you can think of like you could pull jQuery into your application and just use jQuery in certain pages of your app, right? Same idea here. So that's commonly referred to as a mini spa. And then you can go all the way towards, you basically just have one HTML file delivered by your site, and it could even just be a static HTML file. And then everything is interacting with ASP.NET, not to get HTML, but just to get data. And so that's commonly referred to as a full single-page application or a spa. And for that, you may just be using Web API and not MVC. So I'll show you a sample of something like that later, too. One other thing I want to point out here is that, don't memorize all this, there won't be a test. But the point is that I grabbed this off this blog. I really think that this entire post does a good job of it's an introduction on Angular for MVC developers. And what he points out is you've got an entire, can I laser this? It's kind of dim. I want a powerful laser. Can I get a power? So that bottom area there is kind of what's in MVC. And you've got an entire runtime. You've got models, views, controllers. You've got dependency injection. You've got filters, all that kind of stuff. Up at the top, you've got Angular. And we've only given Angular a small little bit of space up there, but there's actually a ton to it, right? If you go to the Angular site, there's quite a bit there. And then you've got dependency injection and views and models and controllers and filters, et cetera. So you really have two entire stacks, two complete stacks. So the point here is that you can decide how much you want to be running on the client and how much you want to be running on the server. And that's really, you can move things back and forth. It really depends on what works best for your application. So, some things that I would think about is if I have proprietary code or something I don't want somebody looking at in the browser tools, it should be on my server. Another thing we'll look at in a bit is if you're doing like intensive data querying or stuff, you may want that to be on a server as well. One last thing here is bundling and minification. So that's a great way that you can, bundle your scripts up and serve them all in one request. So you'll see, and when I show you my application here, I've got tons of script references, and bundling minification puts those all together in one. That's great, but there's a problem with it. That you, well, it's a potential problem you need to be aware of. So I think I am
six. It's OK.
I'll figure this out by the end of the presentation here. So if you have a controller that's something like this, you have this dollar sign scope up at the top. So what bundling and minification does, one of the ways that it squeezes space out is it can rename these things. It can rename elements. And normally that's fine because the only people that care about, you know, what a function references things inside the function, and it can handle that stuff. But for Angular, because of the way it's doing its dependency injection, which we'll learn later, the names really do matter. So your options here are don't use bundling and minification for just for your Angular scripts where this matters, or you can min-save them using a JSON syntax to pass things in. And I think that's the style you use later in some of your stuff.
Yep.
It's kind of a better practice anyway,
sure.
I think. So here's what I did in my application. I said, well, I'm going to be a good .NET developer, and I'm going to include the NuGet packages. So I right-clicked, manage resources. The one that I brought in here is Angular Core. AngularJS Core is kind of the main simple one that's not going to bring in the kitchen sink. However, there are some other great ones, and it's probably going to be slow over the Wi-Fi. But there are other good ones to be aware of. There's Angular Seed, which is provided by the Angular team. And so there's a NuGet package for that. And there's some other just nice ones where people have kind of pre-configured and they'll set up a little bit more for you. So it's stuff to be aware of there. When you bring those in, then those scripts go right into your scripts folder. Now this is a little bit, This is a bit of a script explosion here, right? You already have some of these when you start File New Project. And we've got some more with Angular. We've only got, four? But it's starting to fill up. So a good practice is to create an app directory in your scripts folder. And there's no real way in NuGet to configure where it's putting those scripts. So this is, if you are pulling those scripts in with NuGet, I kind of recommend doing this as having a separate app folder. So here we've got, up at the top is my apps. I think I can even, I have to use this once per demo. There, I've done it. So there I've got my app folder, and that's where I'm going to put my stuff that I know I can do whatever I want with. So let me show you, see how I'm doing here. Okay. One other thing I want to show you with that is, so from there I had these scripts, and to add them into my application, it's as simple as, not that. As simple as drag and drop them in, right? And so, then I've got my script. And Visual Studio will handle the stuff where if you've got a min reference in the script map, it'll go chase that down when you're debugging. Simple case right there. The other case, which David showed, was downloading, and you got those from code.angularjs.org,
yep.
I believe.
That's not the best idea, because you may depend on a lot of things. You should choose your way, or perhaps the CDN.
CDN. So CDN's a nice thing, too. You can use a content delivery network. The main one is, so Angular is started by Google developers.
Yep.
So if you go, is this going to work for me? Browsing to URLs sometimes works for me in Visual Studio. There it is. So this, if you go to that URL, so I went Ajax, Google APIs.com, Ajax Libs, AngularJS, and then the version number, and then manifest. This is a trick Sean Wildermuth taught me last night. This will show you everything that's available. So you will get, Angular min.js as well as a ton of other stuff. And some of this will be showing you resources and animation and cookies and all that. So this is one nice, simple way you can include things. One other way that I just learned about, which I think is maybe even neater, is you can use, there's some public CDNs out there.
JS Deliver. Yep.
And what they showed me is that you can use a script that, I'm going to mess up this URL, but I don't care, because it's commented.
You can enumerate what you want.
Exactly. So there I can say, number one, I can find out the time. But I can say these are all the scripts I want, and it'll package them all together and pass them all down to me. So the, if you're just kicking the tires on Angular, that's a quick way to get started.
And it's pretty convenient.
Yep. I think that's, oh, and then I guess I should show it running, right? So.
I see that you use some.
I did use just a little bit of Bootstrap.
Yeah, Bootstrap UI.
That's actually required, and I put a little dismissible thing up there. So
yeah.
Mine's already a little step ahead of yours.
This is always the same story with you guys.
See, I think it's the, you know, like I know I'm a back-end developer, and I'm just trying really hard to catch up.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it's your turn.
Okay. So we are ready to work, and the first thing that we have to change on our code, I mean the client part, is that right now there is no way to create a real project because I just put a function in a script. And if I continue to do that for all of my controllers, the main problem that I will have is about the order of injection, first file to inject before this one. We need something to have a really loosely coupled program. I mean, each controller must be independent. Each application that I will write must define what the application needs. And to do that, AngularJS proposes a really convenient way, which is a module. The module are just part of code, referenced by AngularJS, where you define the code and the dependencies. Each time you want to use a specific module, AngularJS will take care for you of injecting, in the right order, dependencies. So let's have a look at our small application right there. So remember, we have this kind of code. Here, the index CSS, Angular. I add one new JavaScript code, which is just the specification of my app. Right now, my app is defined here, and it's just an empty module. I just use it to gather all of my controllers into one specific place. And my module is defined by two things. The first one is the name of my module, and the second one is a list of dependencies. My application, for now, just depends on one specific module, which is the card list controller. That's why. My controller has also changed right there. It's now a module named cards controller, that's fine, without dependency. I don't depend on anything. I just generate my own code, so it's OK. And my controller right there is defined with a name, card list controller, which is the same that I will use into my web page in the ng-controller code. And something really interesting. Remember that I use the scope. Right now, to be sure that I have no issue with whatever, I specify my controller code in two times. The first time, I define right there that I need an object called scope. And this object will be the first parameter I will receive, right? Then I define a function that will use my scope right there, and the code right after is exactly the same. The resulting code, the resulting application, is strictly the same. But right now, we are a good architecture. We are module. We are dependency injection. I can grab my module and just test it. We will see at the end. I can add new module. I can add new injection and dependency. This is something more professional. And the page itself is strictly the same, right there. So now, my ng-controller is not a function. It is a module reference. And how to find this module right there? Look. Up. I specify that my app right now is main app. Remember, this is the first module I show you, the empty one. This app has a list of dependencies. One of them is card controller, and card controller define a controller named cards list controller. Everything.
So ng app says, hey, I'm an Angular application.
Yeah.
It wakes up and then it says, I need main app, and it goes and it uses it goes and finds it from the module.
Yeah, it gives me a context. Yep. Main app is my context. It's my scope.
Great. Okay.
Where I work. I work in this specific scope, this specific space of memory. And everything is related to that.
So the few things that I've seen as I'm getting started with this, it's great having dependency injection everywhere. It's really nice to just, everything's wired together. It's also frustrating whenever I do get an error, usually, like if I misspell something, I get a dependency injection error.
Yeah, right? Because you cannot find the right name.
Exactly.
But from the point of view of the developer, when you start building really huge SPA, it's really important to have unit testing. And with this kind of thing, you can just inject one module, one dependency, and test it outside the complex project, which is really important for a big project, even for small projects. The other thing is that you can grab code from your colleague or from outside and just inject it into your app, and it will work if the chain of dependencies is OK.
OK.
So go back to our
slides
right there. OK, so right now we have a beautiful AngularJS application, but data are a bit, let's say, limited.
Right.
And I will need to go to my collection of cards. My collection of cards right now is a huge JSON file with 10,000 cards in it. It's a big, big, fat file.
He did not warn me of this.
No.
So I tried to open it up in Visual Studio, and it was like my machine started to overheat. It's quite, it's a large file.
It's a good way to reset Windows, yep.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is keep this system. I just have to change one thing, right? My controller. Mm-hmm. Everything else is OK. The view will receive cards. It's OK about that. I just have to change my controller. And what I want to do in my controller right now is to use a new object, $HTTP. $HTTP is based on a light version of jQuery. It's the same thing as the AJAX object in jQuery. You just have to specify where you want to load your data, and a new XML HTTP request will be done for you. Okay?
So you said it's a light version of jQuery. Does that break my... I've already got jQuery in my app.
And this is the smart thing here. If you already have jQuery, then AngularJS will use your version.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
okay.
This is really smart. The second thing I want to do is, right after using the HTTP, we will evolve to another object, which is the resource. The resource is a specific HTTP object made for RESTful API. We will see that, and it's really interesting because at the end of the day, I will connect to your web server.
Yep.
I have to do that. So we, with the resource object, we will be ready to connect, add, update, and delete things on the RESTful API. And finally, because I have 10,000 cards in my collection, we will need to add some kind of filters, and I will show you the Angular way to do that. OK?
OK.
So let's go to the 7. So the first step is to change my controller. I show you that nothing changed in my view. This is the beauty of loosely coupled development. You just change when and where you need to change. The controller itself here is now asking for two parameters. The first one is still the scope. The second one is the HTTP request object. So my function right there will have two parameters. And I just call a get. If you use jQuery, this is exactly the same thing. I have a success function right here with data. I get my data. And the thing is that my data are organized in a way that I have blocks. Blocks contain extension. Extension contain cards. So I have to go through all blocks, through all expansion in blocks, and then get all the cards, put that into a flat array, and just give that to AngularJS. And at that moment, AngularJS gonna see a flat array of 10,000 cards. And it has to display that. Nothing changed for my app right there. And obviously, it works. 10,000 cards. So on my small machine, it can take some long seconds. And I just hope one day. Yeah. So as you can see, something is happening. And it's important to see that it can't work.
Mm-hmm.
So my first thought was to, OK, let's add some filter. I can just display 10,000 cards in just one row. I have to change that.
OK.
Let's go to the second step right there. Before doing that, sorry about that, I just want to introduce the resource object right there. I don't want to have my controller to go directly to the web. In fact, I want my controller to be loosely coupled to the data. I want to introduce a new feature of AngularJS, which is the service. Right there, the service is a module, and the module has a dependency on another module of AngularJS, which is ng-resource. I create a service. A service is an object that will be instantiate each time I call it. So each time I will call the card service card right there, it will return me a new object, which is a resource. A resource, as I said before, is an object that is capable to connect to RESTful services. So I can barely change.
This is a good thing to know about, right? This resource thing, if you're kind of, there's a lot going on, but resource was like a big light bulb for me, because like the HTTP object, you can make individual little gets, and you have to work pretty hard. With a resource, you say, here's my endpoint, you just go get it. And as long as they're following get, post, delete.
And it works. It was just a bit long, but it works. Okay, yeah, the resource right there is just a service. So another part of the puzzle right now, I have my controller. The controller will depend on a service, and this service will connect me to the data somewhere right there on the file, but right after on your web's API. The last thing I want to show you, and from the point of view of the web, of the view, nothing changed. I just connect to the same card list controller. I just do the same thing with my template. The only thing that changed is that right now, my card list controller received a card, right? The only things I have to do is to register right there two dependencies for my app. My app mainly now depend on the controller and obviously on the services, all right? The last thing here is to right now add some kind of filtering. I change my view. The view right now is composed of an input, filter, and another input, number. As you can see, I use a directive. I don't know the English term for directive. A directive named ng-model. This directive will create a dual data binding between scope.query and the DOM element. I mean, each time I will change that input, somewhere in the scope, a variable named query will be created or updated. This is the magic of AngularJS. The same thing right there with the number. And I can use some kind of control right there. I want this field required, the minimum and the maximum value. And let me show the magic of data binding. Right there, I just create two span. And
can you zoom in on that a bit?
Sure. And I use the directive ng-show. This one will apply CSS rule on this specific object when the condition is true. And right now, the condition is filter form dot cards count dot error dot required is true. I just have to do that. Everything is handled, all the plumbering is handled for me by AngularJS. Same thing here for not valid number. Then I go to my view right there. And you can remember that we did that just before. Mm-hmm. I add this dash to specify some filters. One of them is a filter and reduce, which is a new module that I just created. I give it the card count and the query. And let's go just in my app right there. And in my app right now, I have a new function called filter. Filter is a function that takes three parameters. Card, which is the current data binded value. Count and query, remember? When I call it, two parameters, card count and query, which are my input right there. Using that, I just do some slicing on the count, and I also go through all the data. It's perhaps a bit not the good things to do, but locally, I go through the 10,000 cards and just check, okay, or not.
Right.
Okay. And finally, I just change one thing to be more beautiful. I add right there an image which is bind on ng-source on my card, because my card right now have a new property called picture path, because I read card into my JSON object.
So you use ng-source. Is there a reason to use that instead of just source?
Yeah, there is a good reason, because AngularJS could be late processing your page. And sometimes you will see the template, the empty template.
So
if there are pictures, you will see the ugly,
broken image.
Yeah,
right?
The broken image. It's not a good thing. So that's why I prefer using a specific directive right there. So, my filter and my card, and I can filter, let's say, this one, its name is Arctic. And as I type, because everything is data binded, then all the cards are processed, the filter is applied, and the limitation, the max count is also applied.
Okay.
And you can see there, let's say, 20 lines of code.
So the work you're doing as far as like the really front end stuff, is a lot handled for you, right?
Like
you write a little code for your filter, but I mean, the way that your controller provides the data to the front end, and then all the binding just does stuff.
For me, in fact, it's a matter of plumbering. All the plumbering is done. I just have to specify my filter, how I want to gather my data, and all the connection, the point to point, everything is handled for me. I just have to specify my business logic at the end of the day.
Okay.
Right? There is just one problem that you will fix for me.
Yes.
If I want to go through my 10,000 cards, it could be just a bit too long.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have to fix that.
Right. OK, so you covered quite a bit there. Are we back to my slides?
Yep.
OK. Where's that clicker? Can I borrow it?
Sure.
So you covered quite a bit. Did you talk about directives some a little bit there?
Yeah.
Do you talk more about it later?
No.
Okay, so directive is like a key extension thing, right?
It's the way that the DOM and the view is controlled by AngularJS.
So we don't create, I'm sorry, I was setting up my machine, I forgot that part. You don't create a custom directive in this, do you?
We can create custom directive. I mean, let's imagine I want to focus mainly on the first button each time the page load. I can create my focus element, which will be just applied by AngularJS during the processing of the page. You can use custom or just Angular version of directives.
So there's all these pre-built directives for you. You can build your own. Tomorrow, pay attention in the keynote. The keynote, the web part of the keynote, we're going to be showing a really cool demo. It's an AngularJS app, and we've got a few custom directives in there. So, like all the cool like front end stuff you're seeing is actually done in a few directives we wrote. So it's pretty slick. So let's talk about how web API fits in and solves this problem we're seeing with the slow response. So if you think about ASP.NET, you've got ASP.NET Core running underneath. You've got all these little stacks on top of it that you can use to build different things. So you've got web forms, pages, or MVC to build out your HTML, and that's what's viewed by your viewers. The HTML goes into the browser, right? And then you've got other ways of serving up data. In this case, we don't want to serve HTML with all those cards from server to client, right? We just want to get data from or data on all those cards. We're going to be using JSON in this case. Now, actually, I should have another little box over to the right of Web API, which is SignalR, because that's another way we can get data from client to server. And we'll see that at the very end if I talk really fast. So Web API, we're going to provide data that people don't really like to read that much, most normal people, but the computers seem to love it. So let's go over to what I've got to show.
Six.
I might remember that by the end of this. So I had a problem. He's got 10,000 cards. I wanted to get him into a database on the server.
Yeah.
So this is how I solved it. I grabbed, I took a look at this data. I actually brought it up. I just found an online JSON viewer. And I looked at, here's kind of the structure. And so it's actually, not that complicated. But I'm really lazy, and I don't want to type all this. So what I actually ended up doing was grabbing one of these and pasting it in. So I went in here like this, and I'm not sure if this is going to work because I'm randomly just...
Yeah, just before the author.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so, but I went in here, I grabbed this, and then I created a new class. And so I went into models, right? And I said add class. And I just called this, you know, whatever example, because I'm going to replace it. And then inside of this, I deleted this class. So I'm just showing you, this is a common enough thing that you may need to do if you are working with JSON and stuff, which you know is a common case here, right?
This tool is really impressive. I really like it.
So I did paste JSON's class, yeah. Right? That's really slick.
Obviously, we don't need that with the JavaScript. We are dynamic by nature, you know? But it's a cool tool.
It's true. It is true. So there we go. There's our example class. So I set that up. Now, you'll notice one thing about this class is that it is, I don't want that. That class that I just created, let's go to my actual class. I'm clicking all the wrong things today. Card models, thank you. Okay, so there it is. And I want to zoom in, and I will zoom in the right way this time. So notice those are all lowercase because the JSON was lowercase. That's the standard convention you'll see for JavaScript and JSON. They like to lowercase the beginning of everything for some weird reason. Here, so it brought them over like that, and that's all fine. If you have uppercase things, that's going to cause a problem because if your property names in C# are uppercase, and we just blindly serialize them and pass them out to Angular, it's going to expect lowercase.
Yeah, I need to want to work.
So there's a workaround for that, and it's very easy. I went into my web API config, and I specified a formatter setting here. So let's bump this to the next line. So in my web API config, I got the formatter, my global configuration formatter, and I just said set my contract resolver to, everyone say it with me, camel case property names contract resolver, right? Yeah. That's built into JSON.NET, and so all you have to do is say, just like do it the right way, and it says okay, and then it gets out of your way. So that's that. So I have a model. Now I want a web API for it. And so I went in and I scaffolded this out. And so I did the standard scaffolding. Depending how we're doing on time.
Okay.
Okay. So standard scaffolding, right? I do add controller. How many people here have seen add controller a lot of times? Right?
Okay.
So I do add controller. I create a web API controller. And I set the model to that class I just created. Now, the cool thing that I did do that I do want to show off is I run that and I've got everything right. I wanted to actually like start testing the data and making sure it was right. So since this, I created this application using the, I feel like this is in the way. using the web API tooling stuff that's built in here, it'll show you, whoa, I gave away my secret. Okay, so there's my web API help page. But what's also nice with this
which is automatically generated.
Yes.
Nothing to do.
It's very cool. And what's also really cool about this is it does it at runtime. It inspects your controller. So that means if I go in and change my web API, it's going to figure it out. And here's another cool thing. If I look at Git, it has everything filled out, including the sub. There's a few subtypes, and it has sample data down here. So that's really helpful. And
yeah.
You know, me trying to work with the JSON data I get, right? So here I wanted to try testing this out. I went, there's a NuGet package, web API test client that I installed. And that gives you this. So here then, I just took one of those and pasted it in. And dare I do it? I think, let's try it. So I think if I paste, that's one you just gave me.
Yeah.
And it may be a dupe, so who knows what will happen. Okay, so I got a 201 created. So people who applaud for HTTP statuses, this is your cue. 201 created is good news, right? So that means that means I just posted that JSON data, and it's in my database. So now I'm able to do all my querying on the server. So fortunately, that part is way crazy easy. So I go into my controller. Let's go down to script app. My goodness, so many files. Okay, yeah. So in my cards controller, I don't need to make any changes.
Yeah.
The only thing I need to do is in my
You just changed one thing,
yep.
If I may, because you don't need to go through all the hierarchical view because you don't have blocks, you don't have...
That's huge, yeah. And
really interesting, because I don't have to do that on my side.
Right.
You just send me a flat array of cards already prepared.
So this is an interesting thing we ran into, is David got a public file, it's like a dump of all these JSON, it's a JSON file, and then not easy to change it, right? So I was able to go through and grab one, create my data structure, create that post, and then I can just iterate through using JSON.NET in a console app and just pump them all in. And now I've got them in a database, and I can serve them up using an API that is a little easier
because
for
I
me.
Just need cards, so you just send me cards.
Right. Okay, so so what I do there, I made a one-line change in my index. Instead of calling, so before you've got local service, and I change that to, well you know what I'm doing here. I change that to remote service. And my remote service is very simple change too. So I went in, here's local service. So if we do,
it was just a get on a local file.
Yeah, and so the change here is one line change. All I do is I change the URL.
Yeah,
that's it. And because Web API is serving up a RESTful endpoint and dollar resource or whatever you call it, the resource object likes RESTful endpoints, we're done.
Everything is connected.
So then, if I run it, which I already did, and I already gave away the surprise, but it just connects in, it calls into the web API, gets the data, and then on the client side, it's all the same.
Yep.
It's so the resource provides the data to the controller provides it to the front end, and they all bind, and it all works.
And right now, I have the option to filter and reduce locally. Let's say I ask for 500 cards, which is okay, and I can also ask you to just give me 10 cards every time I change something, or just ask you, give me just the card with the name that contains something.
Yep. And we definitely don't have time to get into it today, but Web API now has support for OData as well. And Web API vNext has even better, I think, version 4 support for OData. So you can do quite a bit more querying where you just pass in those URLs, and I can provide you exactly that. So you have a lot of querying control there.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's a really good addition to AngularJS.
Yep.
Okay. So going back to the slides.
Yes. See, I remembered.
Yeah.
Okay.
The first one is okay. So finally, we have our single page application, but right now everything is constructed into a single view. We just want a single page, but not a single view. So to create your application, you have to define view. Let's think about user control, by the way. You change the current user control depending on where you are. To do that, AngularJS has a cool feature called routing. And I will show you that right now. I will also add some cool animations.
Yeah,
I think it's 7, yep. Just because it's simple to do. So this is my new version of the main page. Always the same thing. Just notice that I moved my ng-app there just to show you that you can put it everywhere. It just depends on what you want to do with that. The controller is also here, but you will see that I don't need it anymore right there. The main thing for me is this property, this directive. This directive told me that whenever I will change the current view will be loaded and will replace this DOM element, okay? To do that, I have to define root. So let's go to my app right now. And now my app depends on ng-root for the routing. I add also ng-animate for the animation. I will get back to it quickly. My controllers and my services, OK? Remember, the filter still here. And I add a new config here for the routing. So I ask for a function, for a parameter, sorry, named root provider, a function right after with one parameter. And on root provider, I just define what to do when a specific URI is called. When I want to go to slash cards, let's use this template with this controller. That's why the main controller on the main page is not useful right now. If you want to go to /card/ and a number, then go to the detail view and use the detail controller. Okay? Otherwise, for everything else, let's say -build, you will go to the /card. Okay? The view are just piece of HTML. Here are the list, the same that we had previously. I just copy and paste it right there. Nothing changed in here. Just one thing. I change and I add a reference right here. My anchor right there will go to /card/ the number of the current card. Remember, it's a template, so each line will have its own ID. So each time I will click on this link, I will go, because of the routing, to the detail page. Okay? And the detail page itself, it's just I have the card, the image, and I just display the name, the type, et cetera, et cetera. It's just standard binding. One of the binding is interesting because I use a text area, which is an update table control. And in this case, I use the ng-model to specify that there will be a dual binding between the value of the card, which is here the text, and the display. Meaning each time I will change using the text area the value, the card value will change also. Just last thing, because it's so easy that I want to show you. Each time Angular changes something on a control, it will add a CSS class called enter, then leave, then move, sorry, then leave. So you just have to specify some rule, CSS rule right there. Here, I just want to do some transition. Each time AngularJS changes something, I just want the CSS 3 transition. It's free, and it's just easy to do. The result is the following. OK. So I can filter right there, let's say arc. And you see there is so cool animation. Everything is handled for me. And when I click on an item, let me zoom. I don't know if I can zoom. Yep. My mouse over the image is just index-cards-the-card-ID. Okay. Mm. So if I click on it, the current view will be removed. A new one will be loaded. I will remain, technically, I will remain on the same page. Okay. This is just JavaScript code. And I move to the detail view.
Can I interrupt you just a second?
Sure.
Can you zoom in on the URL?
Obviously.
OK. This is a big key point. That routing happened on the client. It doesn't happen on the server. And it's important, not necessarily in this case to the hash, but if you're doing deep linking in these, you can get into a spot where your view on the client doesn't correspond to the URL that's on the server. And so if you copy that URL and paste it into another browser, the server says, I don't know what you're talking about.
In this case, I choose to do full client routing, meaning I don't change my page. I don't change anything. You just don't receive any call from the client.
Right.
Everything is done locally. And I think that's your step.
We need
to change
that. Yeah,
I'll
show that in a second.
OK, so the animation is done. OK, let's go back to you.
Now, that is a really slick, that's an important thing. That just like it automatically sets those classes. You just added a few lines of CSS, and you get those cool animations.
Yeah. And just really use slick CSS transition, meaning when you change something, animate it.
All right. So my point here is just a quick thing to know about, but that routing is important. So if you have, if you do have routes on the client and things aren't working, you know, with those URLs, there can be a conflict. And so one way you can do this is if you have those URLs corresponding to a catch-all route in MVC, you know, or web forms, right? Anything routing is available all throughout ASP.NET. But if you set a catch-all route, then you can say, direct everybody to the HTML page. And then on the client, everything will work because it sees that URL and Angular knows what to do with it. So the client routing engine will pick that up. That's all I really wanted to point out there. One other thing is, if you are doing a full SPA, so you're just doing an HTML, static HTML page, and then doing only web API, so you're using ASP.NET as a JSON server, then you may want to clean up your URLs. And one quick, easy way to do that is with an IIS rewrite rule. So that's really easy to set up in your web config. Again, I've got like seconds to cover all this stuff. So, but that is a really quick, nice thing you can do so your URLs are look nice instead of .html. So I've got one, my demo for this is absolutely incredibly fast, because what I want to do is go on to the next part, because I think that's more fun. So really, all I did here, I've got your, I put on six. So I've got your app, and then I've got your HTML files. I mean, there's really nothing for me to do special here.
It all just
worked. I want to go on to the next part, though, because we have just a few minutes, and it would be neat if we had time for questions. I want to show, well, we got local host too, huh?
Yeah.
Or local storage. Let's do local storage and then SignalR.
Yeah, my Visual Studio is a bit broken. I hope it will come back. But the thing here is that when I change something with my text area, I want to show you something really interesting. I can, and I will try to, I can use local storage. Local storage is an HTML5 feature, really useful, because I can use locally space on the local hard drive of the user, some kind of isolated storage, to save my change. And I mean, what I did right there is on my card detail controller, each time I change the text area of my card, I just want to use the local storage and set a key associated my ID to a new value. Okay, so if we go to the view quickly, each time I, sorry, in detail, each time here my text area change, the update will be called, the update or the current scope. The current scope, which is the current controller. The current controller, which is the detail controller. So each time I change something, the update here is called, and the local storage will receive a key, which is the card ID, and a new value. Each time I load my file on the main controller, mm-hmm. I just check if the local storage exists. If yes, I just get my ID of the card ID, and I, if I get some information, I update things. So, demonstration. Everything is local. I mean, there is no web server implied or whatever. I just go here. No, there is no trample. It's an error. Thank you. I go there. Let's close the browser. It was on the green one, yeah? I can't remember the card. Yeah, I think it's the green one.
There's only 10,000.
On the Arctic,
so
yeah.
Just click around.
And there is no trample right now. The data was updated locally, and I have my database updated. The problem is that it works only for me.
Right.
And here is the web server.
Yeah, so actually this is a really cool, slick idea, and this is something, me being a server guy, I just never even thought of. But you've got a set, actually let me, I'll do slides real quick. I don't need slides, I'll just show it. You've got a source JSON file that provides you your basic data,
yeah.
And then from then on out, we can edit locally and put all our stuff in into local storage.
Yeah, just
and
a delta value, save locally.
So I wanted to show you guys a SignalR, and you know, I had a demo using this, and it was neat, but what I liked better was there's this guy, Nick Berardi, and he did an app, it's up on GitHub, called Consensus, and it's Planning Poker. Has anyone here done Planning Poker? It's an agile technique for deciding what
from
features.
Scrum.
Exactly. So here, I'm signing in as John and David, and this room is gonna be called, I don't know, room.
Build,
great. Thank you. So there we've got that. Okay, so here, if I say, you know, example, you see as I'm typing on one side, it's being pushed to the other side and updating on both. And then here, if I say 5, he can see I voted 5, and let's say you vote for 2 or 20, right? So we can see the votes. This is a really cool example of going quite a bit further, and there's actually not a whole lot more code than what we wrote. And what he's doing there is using AngularJS on the front end with SignalR instead of Web API. And SignalR is what's pushing that information back and forth between them. And actually, it's a pretty smooth fit because you've got this front-end binding, right? And you've got all these live updates and binding model. And then what he's got in the front-end is we're able to, we just continue to bind to things that are on the scope, right? So all the binding here, actually, if you look at this, is your basic kind of binding stuff.
And it's a good way to work. You
right.
just have the view connected to the controller. You don't connect the view to the data.
Yep.
So that's why you can do that easily.
Yeah, OK. So then if we look at, he's got a hub,
yep.
standard hub here. And so this just has, you know, if you've done SignalR development, like for instance, here's card changed. So when the card changed event is called from the client, then this makes the update, and then it calls to clients dot, and then it calls out to everyone connected to this group, and it says card changed, and it passes the card value. And then on the,
the server side?
Yeah, on the, actually on the, this is the server side, that's the hub. And
that's
then
right,
in, yeah, in JavaScript, then what's happening is we get this card changed event, and it's working directly with the scope. And so it's saying scope.apply. It's adding this card to the scope, and it's saying scope.apply, which seems like some Angular magic stuff.
Yeah, it's just to update the UI.
Right? And so then that's it. And then so we're working using JavaScript, or using SignalR as our backend hub, pushing that stuff out. One other cool thing about this that I like is he actually used TypeScript. So TypeScript is kind of a meta language for JavaScript that kind of makes things a little easier if you're building out complex classes
yeah.
or things like that, and then compiles to JavaScript. Pretty slick. Yeah. Actually, I think we can, well,
yeah, we can
skip these.
Yeah.
Let's skip over. I think we maybe should just go to, do we have time for questions?
Yeah.
Let's go to, do we have a second for a few questions?
Yep.
There.
So thank you very much. There are so many things to show and to explain about that thing. Feel free to send us tweets or mails or whatever. And if
yeah.
you have questions, guys, feel free. Right now, we can answer them, I hope.
Or you can come up. Yep. Thank you.